This show is for entertainment purposes only. Do your own research. We do not have a fact-checking department. Any claims made by any person appearing on the Intel Scanner Radio Show are the view of the individual. The Intel Scanner Radio Show does not endorse nor pander to anybody. We are completely First Amendment approved, and the NSA does not thank you for listening.
Sorry. And here we go, we're rolling live. Intel Scanner, 8:30 Tuesday night. Running just a tad behind. Here we are with Spy Games. And civil forfeiture laws.
Thanks
as it
for
is.
Tuning in.
Every Tuesday. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Reverend, and we're gonna have a good show tonight. We're running just a hair behind tonight. It's gonna be a fun one. Anybody that's ever looked up civil forfeiture laws is we put a few up on the posting, and we put up on the posting about civil forfeiture laws. And how they tie into Article 58. And, well, it should get interesting. You want to do, I think we should do Spy Games first, because Spy Games really lets into civil forfeiture laws.
We're good.
All right.
Can we get a James Bond theme going here?
We should. Da, 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 da. So we have, da, da, da. So who all do we have in the house tonight?
I'm Hunter. Johnson.
Hi. Hunter. All right. No. Also, we have well, there's the Reverend, of course.
Well, the Reverend.
And it's an honor to be here with you tonight, Reverend. My God, I've been following your work for so long. And it's really, I just want to say that I'm a big fan. And that, you know, you've really had a huge effect on my perspective ever since I've been first hearing you speak.
Yeah.
Say the Reverend's got a new show now too.
Oh yeah, we're running the news, daily news aggregate, Monday through Friday.
Yep.
Running at 5:30, 6, and 10:30. Our half-hour news program. We're doing the our own advertisements and everything. So if you're interested in advertising, if you're interested in anything, give us a call here in the studio. 545-4496. And it's exciting, isn't it? Well,
oh yeah, so absolutely.
So, with
can I ask a question?
Sure.
How do you define spy games?
Oh, good question. Spy games. Well, with civil forfeiture laws, let's just go into that, and we'll come right back. I printed out one sheet of the civil forfeiture laws. It's a 6-page law, and I only printed out one sheet, and I have it here, and I just wanted to hand it around and show it to everybody. This is. Just the first page.
I did too.
Just the first page, and pick anything on there, and read us a line off.
Well, I would imagine that we would start at the beginning with the following property is subject to forfeiture to the United States, and then I believe everything underneath this is the conditions by which that would happen. Am I correct that?
Absolutely, yes. The conditions involve trafficking in nuclear, chemical, biological, radiological weapons, technology, or material, or the manufacturer, importation, sale, or distribution of a controlled substance, as that term is defined for purposes of the Controlled Substances Act. So anything,
okay.
If you're a terrorist, if you're a drug dealer, if you're a doctor, doctors are subject to Civil Forfeiture Act.
When you get more into it, and it becomes complete lawyer talk, let's just go right here in the middle.
I've got a bunch of stuff too, actually.
If such violation relates to the sale of assets acquired or held by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, FDIC, or a conservator or receiver for a financial institution or any other conservator or a financial institution appointed by the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency of the National Credit. The point is this is lawyer talk for your fucked.
Here's the thing.
This is your lawyer talk for your fucked.
This is confiscation of assets by the state pursuant to law. This typically applies to alleged proceeds or instrumentalities of a crime. That's what they try to sell it to you as. So we're going to take away the meth lab from the meth maker. That's what they try to sell it to you as.
Yes, that's what they sell it as.
Parts A and B are basically saying, from what I understand, the federal government, not the state. State laws are supposed to be, as I understand them, sovereign, you know. This is federal law. No, this is federal law, and it's written, obviously, to supersede any state law. The way it sounds is like it supersedes state law, and most people are raised to believe that it does, but it doesn't. It sounds to me that anything that they can deem terroristic, you know, any controlled substance, etc., and anything that they deem criminal, under their federal law, which is not the sovereign law of our states, then they have the right to claim it, and then you'll get a letter of forfeiture. This actually happened to a person that I know recently. They were raided by the federal government in accordance with city police. Excuse me. Nothing that they had in their residence was a violation to federal law, but they were, however, still detained, questioned, and tried to be forced to be an informant. Now, at the end of that situation, the federal government, having no right to be in their residence, kicked it back to the state, right? The state, who is having a huge issue with, you know, the property that they had right now anyway, medical marijuana, they decided to only give them a letter of forfeiture, which means $600 that was claimed during the raid has been confiscated by the government. And other than that, no charges have been filed.
Well, in Montana here, actually, when the medical marijuana laws went south, Missoula and Bozeman both were raided. It was like 37 different places got raided one day, and they used the civil forfeiture laws to raid them, actually.
People that were not charged with the crime...
They didn't have to be charged
with the crime. They were never charged with the crime, but they had to forfeit their money.
What I'd like to bring up the point, though, is about these civil forfeiture laws, is that they tie right in to Article 58 of Communist USSR. So I went ahead and printed us off a quick little one-sheet copy of Article 58.
Is that the gulag?
This would be what would get you sent to the gulag. And we're about to find out what exactly would get you sent to the gulag. Article 58 is broken into 14 chapters. It falls onto one nice clean sheet there. And this one clean sheet here will get you sent to... Let's just read off 58, part 1. Counter-revolutionary is understood as an action directed toward the overthrow, subversion, or weakening of the power of worker-peasant councils or of their chosen worker-peasant government, union and autonomous republics, or toward the subversion or weakening of the external security of the USSR and the fundamental economic, political, and national gains of the proletarian revolution. Understand what they're saying. Counter-revolutionary is understood as any action directed toward the overthrow, subversion, or weakening of the power of the worker-peasant councils. Listen, what there's anything you do, anything you say, anything you do, I mean, look up Article 58, and you will find out what we'll get. The Article 58 is the blueprint for the Patriot Act. It is the blueprint for these civil forfeiture laws, and I'm getting kind of tired of beating it in the bush. I keep trying to tell people. Article 58 in USSR, and it's shutting in all around us, and the signs are all there. I mean, what's
interesting, I think, is the different wording that comes out with the same result.
Absolutely, yeah. No, they're
exactly.
They're beating this whole thing to death. Roy, what? Easy, Roy. What you got to say about this?
Well, I'm looking at both sides of this and watching, you know, what's been going on in this country for the last, I don't know, I've been watching it for about 40, 50 years now. And, you know, under Article 58, the Occupy movements, what just happened down in Texas, all the things like that, all of that would fall under Article 58. Now, you turn that around and you look at the laws for confiscation and seizing your property. We've been seeing that go on for years where someone will get arrested for drugs or even income tax evasion, things like that.
Drugs and tax evasion, but that's...
They use this to seize every single piece of property the person has immediately before they actually press charges. They arrest them. They seize all the property, even when the people get off. Basically, they're found innocent. It takes them decades to get back.
You know what? Let's do a big time out right at the moment. I would just like to say for all the listeners out there that civil forfeiture laws, you do not have to be proven guilty of any crime. You are guilty until proven innocent.
Take the words out of my mouth.
Absolutely. They will take everything you have, and you have to get the lawyer on after they've taken your money and all your resources and everything you have to pay for a lawyer. Then it's your responsibility to get a lawyer and go fight the government.
That is the exact situation I was discussing with my friend earlier. He hasn't been convicted of anything.
Nothing.
They wrote him a letter of forfeiture that says whether or not you're convicted doesn't matter. We're keeping your fucking money.
We're keeping your shit.
It's seized and held until final determination.
Please. Because under established civil forfeiture laws, a person can lose his money and or property, most often a vehicle or real estate, and cash. If he or she can't prove in court that his belongings have not been used in the commission of a drug crime or that the custody of his belongings is not at some time in the past passed through the hands of someone accused of a drug crime.
The six degrees of separation.
Okay. So you have to prove your own innocence.
So no, that's straight.
Exactly.
Guilty until proven innocent.
Well, and how can you prove that it did not get purchased with money from said drug sales or something like that? Well, if they even suspect that it was purchased with that money, then they can still seize it, and you cannot get it back until you can prove otherwise. How do you disprove the negative? You can't disprove a negative.
No, absolutely no. And a person does not have to be accused of a crime in order for the state to seize his property.
I would ask, what role did the statistics, like if you test each form of currency or each denomination of bill for its drug content?
Here's the worst thing about it, though.
When 20s have a higher percentage of cocaine on them, and all 20s have a percentage of cocaine on them almost in throughout the whole system. I mean, what? That's obvious.
I'm trying to illustrate here a little bit, though, because a person can even be acquitted of the drug crime.
Of the crime.
Of the crime.
And still have their
criminal court and still lose their possessions to the state under civil forfeiture laws. Those are pretty harsh. That sounds not like America to me.
But and as far as the 6 degrees of separation go, though, I mean, if literally every bill can be scientifically tested and proven to have been used to ingest drugs, like, isn't it arguable that they've all been
snorted some cocaine through?
Every single bill has been used in a drug deal. So they're all illegal. Every bill is illegal.
Every
now,
single
suddenly.
Bill. Yes.
I mean, suddenly maybe, they're not. We can take all of their,
how
the
fucking
government's
much
money back.
Hairs do we have to split here on this?
So, well, that's really the point of the show. Is
not
that,
only not only just not only drugs either, but our obviously, we've seen the news recently. We know that our Republic money has financed arms trades with Mexico and other nations directly. So you don't even need 6 degrees of separation. It's 1 degree.
It's almost less.
So anyone that has money in their pocket's guilty. I mean, whatever.
Yes.
They can make the laws that strict, yes. And that's what they're
everybody's
trying to
illegal.
Do. The thing is,
everybody's doing it. And let's say that there's the classic, I'm not doing anything, so the government can't touch me. Well, let me tell you what. Somebody you know is doing something illegal, something big time, and they can tell you right in with them. And even if you only talk to them once a year, twice a year, they'll take. If I was a federal agent and I'm putting you under indictment and I need to tie you in to somebody else, guess what? I'm tying in all your text messages. I'm tying in every message. It's easy to do with the metadata. It's really not hard to do at all. And I can tie you into
metadata.
I can tell you into whoever I want.
Oh yeah, and that metadata, they'll take you. Oh, you've done business with someone that's done business with the terrorist. Well, if you've ever booked a flight, if you've ever flown been on an airplane, ordered pizza, you're on that 2 degrees of separation.
So now you're at risk.
2 degrees of separation. That's all it takes.
Not to be completely comedic, but I just want to be that one guy at the NSA or like right above the dude that has to look at dick pics all day. You know what I mean? Like Tom pissed off the supervisors, so now he's viewing just nothing but penis.
Yeah, but they're gathering that data.
He has to go to the gay bathhouses and get intel. You're on gay bathhouse.
Dude,
fucking
we know that
terrorist
they're
intel.
All dicks.
Like, gay bathhouse terrorist intel.
The computer told us they're all dicks. No, Tom, you gotta look at him. One of those dicks could be a bomb.
Here's the thing. You're the guy gathering that data of all the dick pics out there. What's that used for? Somebody decides they want to get like, the guy that's looking at it and use it to destroy his career and his reputation.
We have to do a full timeout here.
That was, a comedic break. Sorry.
So we have an NSA analyst out in Virginia, and he sees a man with a 14-inch dick and gets ragingly jealous. Punches his computer and shit. All of a sudden, you're 20 years in federal prison, and you don't know what the fuck. You ain't done drugs in your life. Yeah. All you did was just be born with a big dick, and you're 20 years in federal prison.
I would bet you that's happened already.
I bet that has happened.
I do want to ask this. I presented to you guys an idea. There's only two types of people that can do a reasonable job of any type of job. For me, I was a CNA for a long time, and I realized in 8 years, I was a CNA for 8 years, taking care of elderly and disabled people.
A noble endeavor.
Yeah.
Actually.
So, 8 years?
8 years.
Altruism.
18 to 26, yeah. Well, I mean, I took some breaks because my mother owned the place, so I took some breaks. But long story short, there were two types of people that did the job well. There were sociopaths and empaths. The sociopathic people were able to view people suffering and in pain and ignore the obvious, be completely disconnected and could still do their job well. And, as long as they were paid well, they weren't abusive or weird. They would just show up and do their fucking job. And they would
Let's hear it for sociopaths.
Yeah. if you pay them adequately so they can pursue their weirdness in other ways, then they'll be okay. The empaths have like a shorter half-life. They'll show up and they'll do a good job until they cannot absorb any more shit from them.
Literally hand figures.
Literally hand figures. No pun intended, but yeah, he caught it. So anyway, I would assume like a job like the police or working for the NSA or something like that, there's two types of people that can do that job. There's people that desire to be controlling and, in charge of other people and invade their privacy. And there's people that just literally are on a principalistic level trying to make the world a better place. Both of these people would do the job well, according to the job description that our government has laid out for them, that both of these people would do a decent job.
They just do what boss says.
Right? The suckers
of
the bottom.
Well, no, I mean, some of them believe it and some of them don't care.
Well, if that were true, then the good people would get the bad people in trouble and turn them in if they didn't arrest them. So, technically, any good cop out there that tried to arrest a bad cop just gets fired and ousted out.
Well, exactly. I mean,
so just to say, I mean, maybe
how far up river do you want to swim?
Oh, all the way down the rabbit hole into the next level of.
Well, prime example of that, look at our whistleblower laws and Edward Snowden. I mean, he should fall under protection from the whistleblower laws. He's seen things being done that are in violation of the Constitution
and also given a medal.
And, he can't come back now. He's looking for amnesty in Argentina and Brazil and Germany and any place else he can go. He should be protected under our own laws, but is no longer protected because he did the right thing. He had some morals. He had that empathy that you're talking about.
So under civil forfeiture laws, should the U.S. be able to take his life? Because it says they can take your life.
Under laws, yes. They should be able to take everything that he has under the law.
Wow. Well, the law really what we are living by here? We're supposed to be under rule of law.
So we bring up a good point here. Edward Snowden exposed law breaking, but he could still be put to death under civil forfeiture laws because he's breaking the law for releasing information about the government breaking the law. How great is that? Let's give it up for the lawyers and judges all in the world. Thank you.
Judges,
bureaucracy.
Yeah.
For all the bureaucrats in all the world. My dick is hard.
I do find it
I can't abide by bureaucracy.
And I mean, it brings a weird, slight, sad smile to my face. The idea that a person like that, who actually had a moment of, honesty and empathy for the rest of the world, the only criminal charge he's being charged with is like betrayal of the trust of the federal government for admitting what he's done.
Treason.
But none of the things that he admitted that he took part in are even being considered as a crime. That never happened. The only thing that happened is that he told us that it happened, and that's illegal.
Yeah.
May I just say this? Is that I believe Edward Snowden is a total fake story. I don't believe that an NSA analyst would take 4 years out of his life and stack up all this information And it just, his whole story doesn't make sense.
Well, but what if he was just a worst empath. Case scenario, what if he was a greedy, what if he wasn't, empath. What if he wasn't empathic? What if he was greedy and he thought he could make a name for himself? And if he got famous enough, that the CIA might not be able to kill him, even though like if everybody dies in a plane crash, just never ride in a plane again would be my advice. But
well,
I mean,
well, I mean, he goes from the US to Russia, but you take Howard Snowden's story, and it just what it seems like to me is that it would be a good story to let out to intimidate everybody. Let everybody know that yeah, everybody's being spied. Oh yeah, oh, the whole world.
I've always said the best conspiracy would be to make us believe that they're all powerful.
The counterintelligence psychological operation, otherwise known as
Edward Snowden.
Alex Jones
here. We're not allowed to say
you want Alex Jones?
He's going to call in.
If we're doing fear mongers, I'm not.
Say it one more time.
If you say like Alex Jones' name three times in a row, he will.
Three times backwards, punch yourself your big in the brother head, sends and, a drone
and you say,
over
I'm
your
not
house.
CIA, I'm not CIA, I'm not CIA. No,
if you look in the mirror in the dark and say
shill.
Alex Jones three times,
I'm not
then,
a shill.
Then a drone flies over your house and scans you with an infrared
There's
beam.
No place like well, Pentagon.
We got off track.
Well, we got way off track.
But I digress.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely. So back to the civil forfeiture thing and Edward Snowden. How did they
well, well, that's, Eric that's what it came down to.
They,
die
is they should, can kill him
under civil forfeiture law.
Should someone wants to join in?
Should the government be allowed to take Edward Snowden's life under civil forfeiture laws?
What they try to do, I think, is not under civil forfeiture. They would try to do it under treason, but in the meantime, they would take everything he has and destroy his life. They would take his life.
Well, that's why I say he's a big sham. The whole story is a big story. Exactly,
it's a joke.
Well, the guy's got an interesting life, though.
What they did is they took when the people need a hero, we will give them one, and then we're going to turn him into our little puppet to make him seem like our next. Look what they turned Brandy Manning into. Don't get me started on all that.
We haven't even ever mentioned him on the show.
There we are. Brandy Manning went from a fucking... Brandy Manning. Was he some sort of a ranger or a
he was an intelligence.
Whistleblower, another whistleblower.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then all of a sudden they took him away. And we didn't hear anything from him. And
I haven't heard anything about him in a long time.
He came out saying, well, I think I'm a girl, and I don't know.
Well, he's in Leavenworth or something. He's getting a sex change, getting to hang out in the roughest prison on Earth. I don't think I'd want to be a woman in the roughest prison on Earth.
No, exactly. That sounds...
I know somebody who doesn't type Leavenworth. Hell no.
Surprise sex in the morning is great as long as you're not in prison.
Bunch of 3,000 super alphas hanging around.
So that was a prototype for Snowden, I'm saying.
Edward Snowden is...
They ran a beta test, which was Bradley, Operation Brandy.
No, the beta test goes clear back to the 70s.
And there was other ones before that
Daniel
Ellsberg.
Daniel Ellsberg broke into the RAND Corporation. He worked for the RAND Corporation, broke in with his kids and photocopied all the documents about Vietnam and everything. Finally led to the Watergate scandal, ended the war, got rid of the president, the whole works. Boom, he went to jail.
And under civil forfeiture, they're coming to take, they've taken all these people's everything.
Yes.
All these whistleblowers, everything. The civil forfeiture laws are scary, everybody. Anybody that's listening, look them up. Don't take our word for it. Do your own research.
And coming up in the last segment, we're going to have a few solutions and things you can do about it, because...
I'm glad I have nothing left for them to take, because all the subversive words that we've got here, they could come and take everything. I don't have anything left to take, so
absolutely.
I'm safe.
They've done
too. Take your tongues. That's the last thing they can take, really, is your tongue.
Yeah.
And then your life.
My ex got my balls, so...
Yeah. Hey.
No, they can't even do none of that to me. They got to exile me. That's what they do to... of people that they can't do anything with. They can't kill you. They cannot.
Oh, they can, but it has to serve a purpose. Uh-huh. They'll kill you, but it has to, they have to be able to
they get
to
justify
bank off of it. Like blowing JFK's brains out.
There.
They put the whole nation under, scare. You're that served a purpose. I mean, yeah. So it just comes down to serving a purpose.
Well, they got to go forward at the Federal Reserve so that they could create the fake money that we have that they're going to turn around and take under civil forfeiture laws.
Yes. Well, they were doing that long before.
Well, they were doing that. Yeah, Kennedy actually thought he was a president. That's why he got killed.
I think a lot of these presidents think that they're presidents. And you know what? All of these... 98% of these presidents we've had in this country would fall under civil forfeiture laws and have everything taken from them. Because they're puppets.
They're stupid spokesman.
Fucking idiots. I dare one president. I dare a Mitt Romney or a Barack what is his name? And a Bill Clinton and a Jimmy Carter and a George Bush to say, no more civil forfeiture laws. I dare any of these stupid fucking putzes. Republican or Democrat, they're fucking all idiots. Civil forfeiture laws. That's how these idiots stay in power, is because of these stupid laws like civil forfeiture, Article 58. That's how they stay in power. And people just say, okay. And okay, well, mm-hmm. we'll just deal with it. We'll just deal with it. We'll just go with it.
Then what can and we do about it?
What can we
what
do? Can I do about it? I got to the point, I don't know. We're getting the word out here. We're doing everything we can aside from taking arms. I mean, what can be done? What can be done about civil forfeiture laws?
And we will reveal that secret in the third segment tonight. We're going to go into break soon, I thought.
We will be as all soon right, as we have somebody to put us into break. So that'll be
well, fun. Here's the thing. Okay, so hundreds of state and federal laws authorize forfeiture for things as insignificant or as significant as what? Cockfighting. There's actual laws. There's over 200 laws in the federal, just federal laws, forfeiture laws, attached to cockfighting, drag racing, basement gambling, endangered fish poaching, securities fraud, countless other misdeeds, drug-related crimes, even a false statement on your loan application can trigger a forfeiture. I mean, it goes that deep. Okay, physicians are subject to forfeiture of their entire assets based on clerical errors.
You know, the one that gets me that they actually can do this under the mix does make some sense as a Stark Amendment. But if they went after everybody under the Stark Amendment these days that's guilty of committing acts under that, they would have to arrest all of Wall Street and most of the bank presidents in the country.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, the government Stark even tried Amendment. To confiscate a farmer's tractor.
Basically racketeering. Racketeering, extortion, and income tax evasion. All falls under Stark Amendment.
Well, you know what's really scary about the day this police state we're moving into is you have these federal police that are rolling around. And being a federal police officer is the easiest job in the world. You have infinite, of any government, not just the U.S. government. If you're federal police, any government, you have infinite money backing you. You got all these big tough guys with the guns and the alpha males backing you up. There's no risk to your life. There's no risk to safety. You've got all this money to all this good technology, and you can turn all these people into spies, and you're picking all these people. You can just do whatever you want. You can murder and rape and torture.
Murder, and rape, torture.
Right. Right?
Coming up on the second segment.
That's what we're getting into here on the second segment is how easy it is to be a federal police officer.
You too can be a DEA agent, go to Mexico and hire hookers, and it's
yes.
okay.
Yes. If you're lucky. If you're lucky.
Sure. Nine-week course, and we'll give you a badge.
If you're not lucky, you'll be in Central Florida chasing down $20 meth dealers and hating your life.
Is omnipotent.
I did 10 years as a ranger for this? All right, we're going to break. Intel scanner.
Day two.
You wanna march around?
And here we are, back on the Intel Scanner. Here we are, back on the Intel Scanner, running live, Spy Games and Civil Forfeiture Laws, running hot, as we do it always, every Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m., mtradio.net. Be sure to check out our daily news aggregate, Monday through Friday, 5:30, 6:00, 10:30. We're running it right after the show tonight. Please stay tuned for it. So, Roy, you're a military vet. What do you think about this Article 58? Do you think this is shutting down? Do you think this is closing in?
I think it's working with a lot of other things. It reminds me of McCarthyism is what it reminds me of. In fact, McCarthy used this same format to do what he did. And when I look around today and look at everything, McCarthyism is alive and well in the United States.
It is.
If they grabbed all of us that were guilty of a subversive act, subversive thought, attending a meeting or knowing somebody, they'd wind up with the whole nation in jail. Already we've got the highest prison population in the world. They've already started. They're militarizing the police forces.
Gulag.
They're bringing in the military into the country. Into the public to do everything. Yeah, they're using anything and everything under this Article 58 to just suppress the American public and anybody that speaks out against the establishment, as we used to call it, which would mean the corporations, the government, the media, all of that. If you speak out against the establishment, if you make moves against it, if you do something against it, they're going to eliminate you.
As we're doing here in the last days, trying to get the word out. But like we brought up before the break, is how easy would it be to be federal police? I mean, you got infinite wealth, you got infinite resources, you got a whole crew of fucking badasses with guns and bulletproof armor coming behind you. You can do whatever you want. I mean, what's stopping the government from doing whatever they want?
I have one idea. Statistically speaking, how many people do you think are capable of that kind of sociopathy?
A lot.
I heard somewhere that 100% is statistics.
Let's go off statistics. Exactly. Every military that has ever been told by their government that it is okay to rape and kill and murder and torture your citizens. Every military, every police force of all time throughout history has said, okay, let's do it.
Sounds good to me.
And that's how I know that it's real. Because no military or police have ever been like, we will not. We are the noble people. We will not hurt the peasants.
That's not true.
That's 100% true.
The Greeks, they had a civil uprising, several civil uprisings. The French have done it many times.
And how do you think those get suppressed?
Well, they didn't. A lot of them got turned into coup d'etats.
The revolution. And then it becomes revolution.
And then the cycle repeats itself because you got money.
Well, it becomes revolution. The French Revolution's a good...
They were good until the people that revolted were rich and started abusing the people that didn't have money again. My theory and my question to you is, you asked what would stop that, and my idea is... Of the sheep, even in that sector, the people that are working as the federal police, you asked how easy that would be. I think that it's not as easy as you would say. They choose to do it out of fear mostly, and it's when you get rid of fear a little bit. As soon as a person has a little bit of elbow room, they start questioning things, and it'll change.
So you're saying that the government is made up of good people, and people will do good things?
No, but on a federal policing level, I think that any body, like you were saying, like if you were going to police the entire population the way that they're trying to, then you're gonna face this numbers issue of most people are just people. So there's the majority of us that, you know, we do what we're fucking told sometimes. But when we have the freedom to make a choice, then they choose. And a lot of the federal policing agencies, I mean...
Okay, it'll take a five-man team to kill 1,000 people.
Well, with what technology?
It takes 40 police officers to deal with a DUI.
It takes one talented Marine with a sniper rifle to climb a clock tower.
Yeah, a certain Marine. Not every Marine. Let's send it over.
A talented one. Sorry. Excuse me.
This is the basis of America. And justice for all. Isn't this what we built America for?
It seems we find no justice in our court system these days.
Well, if you changed it into giving us the power again in our spending of the money, because that's our vote. And if we made it so that they had to earn it again by, say, all of our vices, which are many, maybe the taxes on those go towards the military, so then they can actually have a reason to control it.
If we don't spend it, they don't get it. We get back in power.
I don't think we need more money
for the and military. Justice for all. Aren't we supposed to be here as a base of America to have them on our side?
The essence of oligarchy within government is inheritance. Is if you're allowed to leave an inheritance. Because if John D. Rockefeller was not allowed to leave an inheritance, well, then we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in now. So when you talk about equality of wealth, and I hear all these things about redistribution of wealth, and it really doesn't even make sense.
Because what you're saying is
no inheritance. Whatever you make in this life was yours, and then that'll go to the state, and the state will take it to.
Can I quote Ecclesiastes?
To enrich. I hope you will. Where were you last week?
Right.
Yeah. Sorry. In Beers and Bibles. Check it out in the archives.
Check it in the archives.
You said nothing about guns.
No.
I don't bring my beer and my Bible without my gun. That's just once against again, my religion.
It comes up to a person that changes things. I mean, in the history of time, people spend gold on what they want that'll enrich their life
hookers
and make them better.
Choose.
Well, if that's what enriches your life, go for
it. And what the majority of
and
propaganda
if we had a
tells them to.
On our taxes, once again, which is how we spend our dollar, if there was somebody actually running that could do something and change it.
But the question I'm presenting is so no inheritance. Plan. That would be the only way. Would be the true distribution of wealth is no inheritance left. Would be the true communist plan. Would be that, and that's the true distribution of wealth. Yep.
I really have something to say in regards to the true distribution of wealth.
Sure.
How do you define wealth? If you eradicate the idea of money from the idea of wealth, then we as a people, as a race, the entire species, we have an abundance of wealth.
There's a step you're missing. And the step to liquidating, to doing away with all money.
I'm just saying
that's the true dream of communism.
If you redistribute, Matt, if you re, uh-huh. if you, re,
you
well,
that
then
that
I'm
right
saying
now.
Yes. The Marxist theories, the true idea of communism, yes. which sounds very good on paper,
does.
But it ends up with a lot of bloodshed, is in my idea this what's the word I'm looking for? I can't remember right now, but it's a
It's a real principalistic, virtuistic idea, but it's not necessarily possible.
The utopian my society idea, is
well,
not gonna happen.
The definition of utopia in its literal sense is no place. But for me, the idea, like what you were saying, I totally lost
my mind. All I was saying,
the redistribution of wealth. If we redistributed true wealth, our technology, our ability to create.
That's called knowledge.
If we distributed that correctly,
you can call wealth many things.
I always want to veer away from wealth.
I'm speaking Karl Marx terms when I say wealth.
Wealth is a measurement. When we all have different ways of measuring.
You said to do away with money, and all I was trying to get at was the turning point to getting away with money is to get away with inheritance. That's all I was getting at, right?
That's one. I mean, your wealth equates to power, and power abhors a vacuum. Power is always going to look for a vacuum to fill, and the way power is going to be able to come in is through wealth. I mean, it's the golden rule. The man with the most gold rules. That's the bottom line. That's what we have.
I had this argument the other day. Somebody said the golden rule, and I said what you said.
The man with the gold rules. That's
or and do unto what others. No, as others could would do unto you is what actually.
And then split.
And then split a 50-50.
Yeah, I want to say amen. I feel like there's an amen at the end of that one.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Hallelujah.
As it was written in the beginning, so it shall be now and forever.
I didn't mean to sound contradictory to you, Nate. I just, it was that paradigm shift that you were talking about, the change in ideas.
See, the Old Testament God and the New Testament God can agree to that, so.
How do they get along when they're on the same team in beer pong, though?
They have their periods at the same time. What? They have their periods at the same time in the month.
Because if they were throwing $5 on it, if and then the New Testament God wins, it's like, but I still got to give you the $5, but, you know, you should forgive me for not having the $5 to pay you. I was gambling on money I ain't got.
Screw that. I want my lap dance for that $5, okay?
Oh, well, you got so New Testament God has the lap dance for the Old Testament God?
I want my lap dance for that $5,
man. That would be
rad. If there's anything
have, like, a Jesus bikini on it. Has, like,
at the same time. Women cycle at the same time. Men don't. We cycle different. That's why we punch each other.
Well, here we are with Spy Games and Civil Forfeiture Laws. And... We're keeping it hot here.
On the intel.
What's a rim shot with that one? Boom.
Good God. So, I want to bring it back to how easy of a job is it to be federal police? To, let's say, federal police and an intelligence analyst. How easy is that? You have all this...
Easier if you're a voyeur or a sociopath.
Are you talking to get there to be that? To make it to be that person?
How easy is that?
As a career
And then
path?
How easy is that to milk a person like that if you're the puppet master? How easy is it to milk a person? Oh, I get to spy on everybody. Oh, I get to pick on everybody. Oh, I get to just take people through civil forfeiture laws. I get to take the land I want and everything. Oh, now, being the puppet master, these are the laws you want to put into power because you get to take all the people and take all your fucking shit. And these people are so easily manipulated, and it's scary because it's happening.
Whoa!
It's
fucking so happening. Now they've developed a force through which they can obtain their means. Also,
exactly,
they develop a giant shit, force judges and lawyers. Of psychopaths.
I may be strange, but it seems to me that you're asking me how easy would it be for you to be a sociopath? I mean, how easy would it be for you to view your fellow man as less than you, as an object? As I mean, if we were mining, the person that you're viewing as a intelligence analyst is suddenly the amount of ore that you could produce. It's the
That's
same
called
thing.
Demonizing the enemy, dehumanizing the enemy.
Well, there's something further behind that. There's something further behind
That's
that,
what's though. Being done to everyone.
It's basic tribalism. It comes
so
out of it.
It's easy to assume that they're not you.
Okay, I mean, if I'm the big boss at the NSA...
We really are all connected. We are all
values.
One.
It's
there
all...
is no division between us all. We all need to unite against all this. That's the only way that can overcome this imposing tyranny is to unite against it.
But the drones are coming. And well,
yes.
drones
so
coming.
But the drones are us.
No one will see them coming.
The drones are us. So, I mean,
they are the people. That's what's
there's
scary.
The mass.
And there's
in
a
mass.
Lot of people that are selling out to
and
the
so,
man
so, I mean, I
for
guess,
$100,000 a year in health benefits.
My question is the same as your question. How easy is it
I got
to
the answer.
Be that person.
I got, to crush
the will of all people. Well, simultaneously.
Well, to do to that is to give up your own will. To do the will of your masters.
As opposed to a human being.
You have to give up to be able
you
to do
have
that.
To give up your own will to do the will of your masters.
Well,
to
how
do
easy
that.
Is that? Because I'll tell you. That's the point I'm getting at.
That's the point I'm getting at is how frightening is it that there is this many people in a $100 trillion a year military that are this focused and indoctrinated to do these things. Across the military, across the police forces, across the 1,700 intelligence agencies we have.
Oh, I know how. Because they recruit them young. Before they know anything.
They give them a really good DARPA file and they figure out which ones are susceptible to being sociopaths. They get all the Charles Manson's young.
I mean, we could get into the Common 18, Core curriculum, public education, public indoctrination, slave training, prison camp training systems that all kids are brought into with the public school system, public education.
I'm going to quote Isaac Asimov and say the ghost in the system.
Yeah.
Well, you
that's
you look
the only
at
thing that'll
the
save
exception
us.
Exception to the rule.
You look at the last 30, 40 years of these Hollywood movies, and they've gotten more violent. Pornography's gotten more violent. Everything's getting more violent, more intense, and with this military, police state, intelligence state building, it seems like it's all just a big indoctrination. Now call me a conspiracy theorist, whatever you want to fucking call it.
Why didn't you look at me when you said that?
I'm not looking at anybody. And it looks like it's just indoctrination across the board. We have all these psychopaths. Everybody's being trained across the board to not feel. We live in a society that's non-apathy, and it's cooler to be the scumbag. It's cooler to be like you're on the outside if you're not.
No, it's worse than apathy. It's the embracing of the evil.
I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna dig into that $70,000 in student loans for a degree in psych I got to explain what's going on here.
God damn, when you phrase it like that, painful.
It's painful. It's really painful. Pucker up your butt cheeks, because here it comes.
Say it, Brad.
Okay.
Give me some.
I'm going to go a little dialogue for a
give
minute
me some.
Here.
Get it.
You look at who has the highest rates of drug addiction, alcoholism, beating their spouses, suicide, everything. It's police first, firemen second, military ranked
right
behind
their spouse as well.
And here's the reason why, and why the media and everything has gone the way it is, and why those people, the answer to your question, can make it so easy to do what they do. If you have morals and ethics that say, don't do this, and your boss, you know, the chief of police, whatever the laws are telling you to do it, it creates a situation called cognitive dissonance. Yes. And to adapt to that cognitive dissonance, you wind up drinking, you wind up beating your wife, you wind up committing suicide, all
similar
these crazy things go on
syndrome,
because there's internal conflict going on. Mm-hmm. You're being forced to do things against your morals.
Yeah.
So they use the media, they use the money, they use the power, everything
television.
Else, and they use behavior mod in the military, behavior
suspended.
Mod in all levels of government.
At every level of communication through the internet.
To condition these people to where it's not against their morals and ethics anymore,
right.
And then they find it very easy to go out and abuse the public, abuse their fellow man, do things that would normally be against their morals. They no longer have cognitive dissonance because their morals and their ethics have changed through the behavior mod that's being put out there.
I want to say two things. First, I want to say amen. Secondly,
amen.
I would say
amen.
The people, the only people that have been criticized for behaving this way, I can think of one in particular, Charles Manson. This is the exact method that he took with those young girls. He broke them down. And actually,
Jim Jones,
yes.
Hold on. Stick with Charles
Manson.
Hold
on.
We'll stick with... No. Give me my 2 minutes.
You can't speak about my man, Jim Jones.
Give me my 2 minutes of Charles Manson, though, for a second. No, seriously.
God rest his soul.
I don't know if the CIA learned it from him or he learned it from the CIA, but it is the same fucking concept. And the marketing and media, as we've been talking about tonight, the ability to, as we said, it's a boring conversation. If somebody asks me what my job is and I say I work in marketing and demographics for Google, and then they start asking what that means, I just jargon, and then they fucking don't want to fucking hear any more of it. But the funny part is the job that I'm describing is a person being put in the place of describing what is entertaining. So we talk about, you describe your job and it's boring, but what your job is to tell people what entertains them, what they like, how to feed those dopamine and serotonin responses in their brain through colored pictures and lights.
We're going
to
make it popular by playing over and over again.
So the behavior mod idea, it's a very subtle and very easy thing to do. I mean, it's the same thing as John Edwards pretending that he can fucking talk to your dead relatives.
I want to say on air, you have
no intuition, sir. You have no spiritual abilities. You have intuition. He believes that his intuition is a divine gift from God.
He's coming back to follow the rest of us.
We're not talking about John Edwards. I'm saying the ability to infer information through information.
I accept from someone that can suck my fucking dick.
I was told that if we talk over each other,
we haven't.
It is loud and inappropriate to the mic, so I just want to say, it's just that ability to infer information through the normal ways that human beings communicate. And manipulating the way that they communicate and the way that they
with John Edwards
interpret information. You learn.
You guys just really fucked up my ADD here. just so you know, I was tracking all three of
them. You know, really Jan blowing me.
The cognitive dissonance going on in my brain right now is not ready to lead me to justifiably take everything you have and kill you.
I had to hold up.
We are overspeaking each other.
It's similar to Stockholm Syndrome, actually. Well, suspended disbelief. First they suspend you. Or disbelief.
You learn this through sports first.
I want to ask Eric. You fall Eric is our sit-in guest, right?
You said you have a degree,
which is not what you agreed with in the first place. And go.
Okay, somebody.
Eric.
Anybody.
Eric.
The violence we had to teach it to young kids when we coach them. It's getting really intense at a really young age.
Yeah.
I mean, we teach them to fight so that they're stronger. And you have to do that if you want them to be strong.
Oh, right? Yeah.
But now you got powders and pills and proteins and vitamins that...
But we're teaching them aggression. Teaching them to fight.
We're teaching them aggression first.
That honor, when honor and then was learn how to handle it later. In their sporting system.
This has to be one of you.
Then once they get into high school, then the Army's calling them, making them feel like even more of a badass. Going like, I'm going to be in the Army. I can do this. I'm going to be
Call of Duty in your video games.
Into it now, and
I agree to a point of raising your children. You can't raise children in some spoiled fucking cartoon.
I heard somebody say we're teaching them aggression. I would just disagree on words there. Aggression, you know, from day one,
it builds testosterone.
You have to learn is how to release aggression in a way that's not
appropriate.
And a good coach, you can tell the difference because their kids are tough and controlled.
I would say behavior modification, like you were saying, works. In a more subtle fashion. It's not a teaching as much as an erosion of the way that you normally see.
Desensitizing to the new.
Yeah, you just slowly, spoon feed it to them. Gently until they submit.
And
until they vomit it up. And
start young.
And then you refeed it to their
body. Start them young.
We weren't quoting the Bible on that. You never even let me get to Ecclesiastes. We're not talking about dogs eating their own vomit.
Behavioral programming.
Yes.
Behavioral placement programming. They place these things in front of all of the kids.
The number one criteria curriculum for rehabilitation of criminals in this state right now is called cognitive principles and restructuring.
Yep, cognitive restructuring.
Brain
washing.
How the fuck could you even... They don't even take a shame in the idea that they're locking people in cages and saying that we are going to restructure your cognitive abilities.
We're going to restructure your whole cognitive abilities in the next segment. I think we're going to break.
And Intel Scanner, 8:30... Fucking, what is this? Tuesday nights? And we'll be back.
Every Spy day. Games. There.
There's no way.
Hey, thank you.
Intel scanner tonight.
It tastes great.
Have we revealed our secret number? You can call in if you're interested. The secret number is 406-545-4496.
Can't wait to hear from you.
Give us a call if you have anything to say about anything we've talked about, or if you have anything on your mind you would like to disclose to us.
Or if you feel that you have been subjected to behavior modification altering your viewpoint and ethics on life, please let us know about it. We want to hear from you.
Or if you know anything about the political or national gains of the proletarian revolution, feel free to call in, or bomb threat.
And that number is
406-545-4496.
Absolutely.
Nate, before we go, can I tell you a small joke? I watched a cartoon with a man speaking over a platform in front of a whole group of people. And he said a large number of things, and they all cheered. And at the end he says, "And victory for the proletariat." And it was just silence. And then he goes, "That's you!" And then they all started clapping. It reminded me of you. I saw the joke. It reminded me of you.
Nice. Yes.
Wow.
You just summed up, really, cheers. Like the last 3 years of my life.
Cheers.
Wow. You really did just sum up the last three years of my life. Wow.
I'll post it to your Facebook.
I don't know how many people have been doing the military?
Cheers. Grab them.
Wow. The next person that asks me what the proletariat is, I'm going to hit him.
That's
the
you. I was wearing your shirt yesterday, by the way.
Amen. What
the same one.
I was reading your book today.
Whatever happened to the big one? That six so, times the with big. The...
I have it still.
Donnie, yeah. I thought had.
No,
had
no,
that.
You gave it to. No, it was yours. It was the first one made of the bound and gag girl.
How big? Really?
And I insisted that I wanted it. No, Pharaoh had it. I insisted that I wanted it. I bought it.
I want to put it on the back of my Harley as some kind of weird right down the street.
We spilled some weird orange shit on it. I used it for pajamas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like six times.
Okay, so if you
we're talking about
last days of the proletariat.
I made you love me again. That's what happened. That's
dot cam.
Last days of the proletariat.
The proletariat. Yeah.
That's you.
PuppetMasterPublishing.com. Check it out if you have a moment. We're with Spy Games and Civil Forfeiture Laws tonight. So let's get back on the spy game a little.
All right.
We have the government and the NSA using all this metadata, all this trillion-dollar fucking spy apparatus to gather all this information. They have all these foot soldiers, these punk fucking informants out on the streets. Getting everything. Getting all sorts of information, whatever. So, I mean, how is this? How do we stop this without having a collective of computer hackers? The only way to really stop this
how have we gone this far without saying Big Brother?
Is fuck Big Brother? Fuck about no goddamn.
That's the
Big
first
brother.
Time we said Big
just,
Brother. I was the I first
just,
person. To say.
I just want
to
say that I feel very violated by this.
How can we guarantee your safety if we don't know every fucking thing that you're doing at every?
Someone protect me.
I'm feeling safer by the moment.
By the moment?
I'm vulnerable.
Well, I watch you bathe. Do you feel safe now?
If
it's like it's like Psycho, and they it's like Bates Motel. They just turned that into a really shitty show. No, but I mean the idea of it is ironic in a certain sense, because when they're watching all of us, then the amount of people, even like he said earlier, to police the population as is, it would be such a large number that they would have to police themselves. So you got the internal affairs, you know, and then you got the internal affairs to watch the internal affairs. And I,
but
gets,
there is no. That, that doesn't exist.
Oh,
there's no oversight.
There's no oversight. None.
No. Oh, well, yeah, it is. It's called the mob.
Whoever has enough money to pay half the people to kill the other half of the people.
If you got enough gold, you can rule it. I mean, the mob doesn't exist.
And that's a democracy, basically. Two wolves and a sheep voting over what's for dinner.
Everybody thinks that organized crime went away. John Gotti was the end or whatever. No, they just all made so much money that they became politicians.
That's a fact.
That's a fact.
I mean, there's a Kennedy sitting on the Supreme Court. I mean,
no, the funniest part of the facts is that you can lie about them. The CIA can lie about things. Or like, so all of our operations in South America, for example. We say God bless. They took God bless America out of the Pledge of Allegiance finally, but they didn't replace it with what deserves to be there, which is Africa and South America bless the United States with all of their natural resources.
But, how do we? The only way I have thought there would be to fight this, like the anonymous computer collective hackivists or whatever you want to call them. That's the only way, is if we had a collective of computer hackers that could break in to the computer servers and post a list of all the snitches, of all the spies that there are that the government has, including the cases they were involved in, and overnight on the internet, and we could get things
notice,
fucking...
A burn notice for every active agent in the field?
For every fucking snitch, for every informant?
I got a better idea. I got a better burn idea. Notice. I'm going to wind like, up on the NSA's list. There's a show about Fox,
I think. Mm-hmm. Burn notice.
Here's the idea, the way to do it. Rather than to try and find out that information and post it, what you need is everybody getting on Anonymous and WikiLeaks and everything and post misinformation about what's going on and overload the NSA with misinformation. Not, so they just run around in circles chasing their damn tail.
May I present a hypothetical? See, may I present a hypothetical?
Who I'm not looking for, personally, if this was to be posted, who I'm not looking for is who the federal agents are. I don't care who's on go. It's who the freelancers are. Who are these scumbags that are freelancing for government intelligence? They're the ones you have to know, because those names are kept very secret.
Oh, they're the people with the most money.
No, these are the pieces of shit. These are pieces of shit at ground level that the fucking these bourgeois
I will agree. Federal officers bourgeois.
And turning their spies against themselves.
Bougie for my Sicilian friend.
And you think it's funny and all. But it's really not a joke.
I agree with you on the bourgeois level of that. But what I disagree is a person that is intelligent as that is, you know, like I said, these freelancers that are able to make this technology and, you know, make the whip, so to speak, like the designer
I'm
of the whip.
I'm talking about the punk-ass informants. I'm
talking about the people that designed the technology that ruins our lives. Do you think that they are not paid well enough? They have to be bourgeoisie. They need to be paid what their fucking what their moral equity is worth. You know what I mean? Moral equity.
I know who you're talking about. It's that asshole that went through the parking lot out here and wrote down all of our license plate numbers the other night as we were on the air and whatnot. Yeah, it's that guy. And then he goes back and reports and all that.
Did that happen? What? Fucking tell me about that.
I haven't heard about that.
What's sad
but
about the
that's the kind of stuff that goes on, though.
They can just see that shit from a satellite. They don't have.
They got a gun. No, they got a gun to point it at. You know that.
But you know that. What's sad about the entire state of the bourgeois in the United States is that it's all turned into state capitalism. The entire bourgeois that was those wages that were the middle class, the 80 grand to 190 grand, that's all become state-controlled income. The top 1% is all involved in stock market. The top 2% is law enforcement, intelligence agencies. It's disturbing. And I don't know where we're going from here. And you can crack all the jokes about the computer hackers being able to put out this information on the internet. I promise you, if Anonymous was real, which it's not, Anonymous is fucking government bullshit, just like WikiLeaks and all this fucking other smokescreen nonsense, I don't even know what to say. It's if you cannot see through the bullshit at this point, then
Stay out of the game. If you're not pissed off about what's going on and aware of it, you're not paying attention. Get out of the game. Get out of the way.
Well, I'll give you a different angle towards the hacktivist thing. I disagree about the need to join a so-called anonymous or to be anonymous. I say wear it as a badge of honor, like an American. You know, be proud of your heritage and die for this right to express and be who you are, and if that takes you know a collective showing the government what they're doing wrong and putting a stop to their moral wrongs, then I think you should gladly add your name to that public list.
I agree with that, and they've defined these things and we've accepted it as there's two kinds of resistance. There's passive resistance, and then there's aggressive resistance. I would say there's
a call to
action. Here's my call to action: active resistance. Get active. That's the one they didn't tell us about.
Civil disobedience.
Here's a call to action. If Anonymous is real, then they're all powerful. They can pick this transmission up. Pick this up. You need to break into the NSA, the DEA, all the data banks, and post who all the fucking snitches are in this country.
Right.
And overnight, it will.
Well, this whole anonymous movement is still a complete. It's still a complete fear-based mentality. And what we need to do is shed that fear.
I think what Sean's talking about is a paradigm shift. This idea, as long as you're working from a fear-based model or an idea that they have this kind of power, the true depth in my ideas and the way that I choose to live my life, and I think that all of you men in this room also choose to live your life, is we're men of principle, and we believe what we believe despite the surroundings. You could be, you could be in the gulag, Nate, I believe, and you would still believe the way that you choose to believe because that's who you are. And what Sean, going back to what you just said, is that's the pride that we should take, is we were raised in a country where we're supposed to believe this, and we were taught, even amidst the propaganda, all the propaganda that they fed us one bit of truth, and the bit of truth that we should keep is that pride for our ability to be committed to what we believe in. And if you believe in something, then be a part of it and take an active step against it. And if you think that the government and the people around you are suppressing that belief, then fight against it.
Precisely.
That just speaks to the ability of the human spirit to transcend its environment. It's not nature.
And
we
talked about wealth earlier.
It's nature. It's the human spirit's ability to overcome and be better than its surroundings.
And I believe that is true wealth.
Just be, if it was only up to our, baser instincts. We can overcome our basic instincts of hatred and fear and, just the succumbingness, the feeling of hopelessness. And we're better than that. And that's why we have become the dominant species on this planet. No question about that. But the people that are in charge of our species nowadays seem to have an otherworldly agenda that doesn't coincide with our basic human instincts to be better, to uplift humanity to the next level. Seems that the powers that be want to suppress us and not let us, as a species, as humankind, become
better,
a species, if the earth were to be destroyed, the species of humans would survive. That's the next level that we could ascend to, but they're suppressing us from that. So if the earth were destroyed, the humans as a species,
that's why they use people as spies, is to break people's spirit and humanity.
Take a moment and read something here. I've had this posted on my pages and everything for a long time, and it was kind of the starting of a lot of the things we're seeing today. This is the Hacker's Manifesto, written in January 8th, 1986 by the mentor, shortly after he was arrested. Shortly after he was arrested for hacking into the World Bank and several other big things. Another one got caught today. It's all over the papers. Teenager arrested in computer crime scandal. Hacker arrested after bank tampering. Damn kids, they're all alike. But did you and your three-piece psychology and 1950s techno brain ever take a look behind the eyes of the hacker? Did you ever wonder what made him tick, what forces shaped him, what may have molded him? I am a hacker. Enter my world. Mine is the world that begins with school. I'm smarter than most of the other kids. This crap they teach us bores me. Damn underachiever, they're all alike. I'm a junior in high school. I've listened to teachers explain for the 15th time how to reduce a fraction. I understand it. No, Miss Smith, I didn't show my work. I did it in my head. Damn kid, probably copied it. They're all alike. I made a discovery today. I found a computer. Wait a second. This is cool. It does what I want it to. If I make a mistake, it's because I screwed it up. Not because it doesn't like me or feels threatened by me or thinks I'm a smart ass or doesn't like teaching and shouldn't be here. Damn kid, all he does is play games. They're all alike. And then it happened. A door opened to the world. Rushing through the phone line like heroin through an addict's veins, an electronic pulse is sent out. A refuge from the day-to-day incompetencies is sought. A board is found. This is it. This is where I belong. I know everyone here, even if I've never met them, never talked to them, may never hear from them again. I know you all. damn kid tying up the phone line again. They're all alike. You bet your ass we're all alike. We've been spoon-fed baby food at school and we hungered for steak. The bits of meat that you did let slip through were pre-chewed and tasteless. We've been dominated by sadists or ignored by the apathetic. The few that had something to teach found us willing pupils, but those few are like drops of water in a desert. This is our world now, the world of the electron and the switch. The beauty of the bod, we make use of a service already existing without paying for what could be dirt cheap. If it wasn't run by proliferating gluttons, and you call us criminals, we explore. You call us criminals, we seek after knowledge, and you call us criminals, we exist without skin color, without nationality, without religion bias, and you call us criminals. You build atomic bombs, you wage wars, you murder, you cheat, lie to us, and try to make us believe it's for our own good, yet we are criminals. Yes, I am a criminal. My crime is that of curiosity. My crime is that of judging people by what they say and think, not what they look like. My crime is that of outsmarting you, something you will never forgive me for. I am a hacker. This is my manifesto. You may not stop this individual, but you can stop us all. After all, we're all like the mentor. Everything he owned was taken. Everything he will own was taken. He is never allowed to touch a computer again.
Under civil forfeiture laws.
Exactly.
Reminds me of
that was rad. That was fucking
from
rad.
The archives. Thank you,
Roy. I've said it once already, and I said it again. Amen. And I must add, that reminds me of Copernicus.
I've wanted to read that to the world for 30 years almost.
I've never been a hacker. That was written the year I was born. And I've met an entire generation of disenchanted young men like that. It's
accused.
Everybody should put this on.
I'll say in regards to what Nate was saying, the paradigm shift that must take place before.
Who's Nate?
Oh. I've never met him, but he seems like a reasonable person. Anyway, the idea that for money to leave, there must be a change in the paradigm, I agree. I don't know if that's what you were saying, but that's what I heard you saying. Yeah, there's got to be a paradigm shift. And that is a child of the shift in our paradigm, this realization. I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, we should know if a child is having trouble learning the way we teach, then we should learn how to teach the way they learn.
Exactly.
Because you're gonna encounter extremely intelligent, brutally intelligent children that are gonna change. I mean, Mozart at 15 was writing symphonies for monarchs.
Well,
and
back to
dignitaries.
Snowden didn't even graduate high school. He was a dropout, but he was a hacker.
Oh, and
he knew computers, and they recruited him.
I must refer back to the anonymous idea. I must refer back to the anonymous idea, though. You say anonymous is fake, and that's fine. I can believe, as much like Alex Jones was created by the CIA, that Snowden is an the same idea, the same piece of propaganda. But I tell you this: the people that
Alex Jones
in the 27 years ago when that was written, those people haven't become less abundant. There's more people like our friends in this room and like the people listening out there right now that are like that. And they are anonymous. Literally anonymous. Not the organization anonymous. They are very literally anonymous because they are intelligent enough to not be seen.
All right. And speaking of that, I have to say, and no call-ins, you fucking pussies. Nobody can call. We haven't had call-ins.
What's the number again?
406-545-4496. Can't wait to hear from you. You fucking pussies.
And if we haven't pissed off or aroused you, you're not paying attention.
Josh, nobody has the balls to call in anymore. Well, we used to be more radical. I mean, we're like radical light now. Shit.
Reverend, counselor, professor, whatever the fuck you call yourself. Roy, you use your name. It was a pleasure to talk with you, Eric, as well.
That's easy, bro.
I'm going to call you the Wizard of Oz.
Just ignore the man behind the curtain.
Well, according to the Institute for Justice.
Absolutely.
Policing for Profits. Montana. Asset forfeiture report states that the state requires only probable cause to confiscate property. And this is the lowest standard of proof the government must meet To prove your property is related to a crime.
To confiscate.
Pay attention. We're defining probable cause here. This is very important, people.
And yes. to confiscate.
Say it very clearly.
In perpetuity.
Well, it's the same standard required for a search warrant and far lower than beyond a reasonable doubt.
So a judge can confiscate property is all it is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The interesting thing, more than once, having been a former law enforcement person, I've had cops come to my car and pull me over when I knew I didn't do anything wrong and say, what's your probable cause? And they stutter every time.
So I got to take part in this.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
We were just talking about this outside. So there is a new trend, and you guys are a big portion of it, and I have no adversity to it other than a simple idea. The new trend is to exert your civil rights. I believe not that we are becoming as much more of a police state as you guys may say, but maybe we are. I agree that it is being filmed. It is being filmed, and you can see what is going on more easily. You have more access to that information now than we ever had in the past. So that being said, the cops beating people and all that, there is a new trend with all of these internet videos of police brutality, and anybody on Facebook can recognize this. There's a trend of exert your civil rights on the police. When the police pull you over, you say, am I being detained? We start with this.
Speaking about that is the...
I just want to get this two sentences out. My only thing to say about that idea is, you realize, and I do realize, that their training is not civilly correct. It is not according to our Constitution the way the police are trained. It's not civilly correct. But the idea to exert your civil liberties in a hostile manner towards a police officer is going to lead to them beating on you with sticks. So, you know, pick your battles. That's all I want to say. Pick your battles.
That's all I got.
The whole thing.
That's it. Well, fuck. That's weird. I mean, where are we going?
That's a whole other show. That's a whole other show.
You fucking killed my ending.
I'm sorry.
Well, I guess this is a show, right?
Seems to be.
Well, we're wrapping it up here. Intel scanner.
2 minutes. We got 2 minutes. 2 minutes, right? So what do we do in 2 minutes? Well, the standard required for a criminal conviction is beyond a reasonable doubt. Right? Is that not established? Yes.
That's written in law, so.
Theoretically, except for the loopholes. Guilty.
The loopholes provided by the forfeiture laws, and this is in Montana. Once Montana seizes your property, you are presumed guilty.
What?
Yep.
That's across the.
And there's a moment of silence for that. And you bear the burden that either the property was not forfeitable or that the conduct giving rise to the seizure was without your knowledge or consent. Also, law enforcement receives 100% of the proceeds from forfeiture. That is the issue I want to get to.
There it is.
That's the issue I want to get to right there.
So if we take your money, it's ours. No matter what.
Yes.
Yes.
So new accounts have revealed that almost half of some county prosecutors' salaries are paid by funds from forfeiture accounts. That's in Montana. That's Montana. The Montana State Bar issued an ethics opinion that found no conflict of interest, despite an acknowledgement that funds are often used to hire deputy prosecutors that assist the county prosecutor. So that's funneling the same money into more accounts, into more to build
to fund more that are taking the money.
So yeah, you can take money and then use that money to take more money from more people.
And while you're in jail, your Corvette that you had gets used by a narcotics officer while he drives around to make deals and bust people.
Thank you. So this is legal in the criminal prosecution system in America. Are you kidding me? That was my 2 minutes. How much more time you got? I got more stuff.
Roll it.
So,
I think this is the first time the Intel scanner is ever going over its limits.
No.
Ever. Yeah. In the history.
The first time.
So here's another thing.
It's amazing.
Nobody saw that coming.
There's no requirement that forfeiture data be reported, meaning no oversight. They take your money, your property, your...
Whether you're guilty or not, and it's theirs, and then they can use that money to arrest more people and take their money.
I just want to go on air. We're about to go fucking...
Over $7 billion have been forfeited to the federal government since 1985.
$7 billion.
I'm sorry. I think it's more like $11 trillion. What's our debt now?
$17 trillion.
That's what's been forfeited to the federal government.
Well, that's illegal drug money, so that don't count.
So that don't count.
Nate, I believe you had something to say.
I'm good. I'm good. Intel Scanner, 8:30 Tuesday nights.
And
check us out.
And be call sure your to... congressman. And, look up FEAR. F-E-A-R. That's the Forfeiture Endangers American Rights .com.
And be sure to check out the Daily News Aggregate. That's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 10:30. And stay tuned. You'll be hearing it coming up here shortly.
Isn't there also like a demanding change thing?
We have progress. Program note here. We have demanding progress on Saturdays at 6 p.m. hosted by Josh Lining. And we have The Vent by Sakul Deeps on Sundays at 3 o'clock. And we have some other new shows coming your way.
We're going to play some music now?
Yeah, we got another local Bozeman track here.
Bye.